Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of the Old School Primitive Baptist with Elder Don Martin, Sr. Stay tuned for another gospel message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Well, I'm blessed to be here this morning. Though it be a dismal, dreary day on this Saturday morning, and yet there are showers of blessings inside the safe haven called the little meeting house at Empire Church. We're safe from the droplets of rain coming from the heavens above, and we're in a safe haven amongst those who have that common bond, which is that faith that is of Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of that faith, of which has brought us together in unity with a common desire to worship the Lord God, omnipotent, omniscient, and who alone is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. I'd like to take a few moments, hopefully not to be lengthy, speak upon a couple words. Speak upon the word justice, mercy, parole, and pardon. Now the Bible says that God is a just God. And being that He is almighty in every aspect, He is sovereign, and that He is in the heavens and doeth whatsoever He pleases, and that He rules in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and really no man can say unto Him, why doest thou thus or that? For He does as He pleases and accomplishes His divine will and purposes in all things. Now, He's a just God, meaning that He is a God of justice. But to the depraved sinner, that attribute about the Almighty God of glory is a attribute that is fearful. Now you said, we are not those that fear, but are those of a sound mind. And when you see the totality of the redeeming work of Christ, fear begins to take its flight. If a man is looking for justice from a just God, that he will find himself in a fearful state because of depravity's curse upon all of mankind. We are found guilty before God of sin. And for God to be just and to deal with sin with and in a just manner, He must condemn it, which He does, and He must take and cause a penalty to be paid for that sin, if He's just. And so God being just, He is also, in His sovereign attributes, He's a God of mercy. Now, what do we look for as those who have been revealed some of the revelation of the Word of God in regarding the salvation of the believer? Are we looking for justice or are we looking for mercy? We look for justice, we find ourselves in a hard place, in between a rock and a hard place. We are in between two entities that are fighting one to another. There is justice that demands a penalty to be paid, but on the other side there is the mercy of God. And that is what the believer in Christ Jesus has been revealed brings comfort and hope and joy in the experience of salvation, is mercy. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and for by grace are ye saved. It's by the mercy of God that we are saved and sought out of among the lot of mankind under the curse of depravity, and brought out of this condemnation by this just God. It's by his mercy we have been delivered from his justice. Because of love. Love is that driving factor that causes mercy to be applied. For he loved us first before we loved him. He first loved us. And so therefore, in regarding justice and mercy, we plead our case before God, O God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's what the heathen man prayed when they went to the temple, not as a pharisaical pride religionist of the Judaizers of their day that went up there and said, Oh God, I am one of the tribes of Israel, and I have given alms and done thus and done so, and I've kept the statutes and laws and commandments. No, no, no. The Bible says God did hear not the prayers of that boasting man of self-confidence and that which delineated trusting in God's salvation, but that one little heathen man that went up there with a contrite and a broken heart that smote his breast and said, Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. The Bible says God heareth his prayer. And God is the sovereign God that is one that causes the contrite and broken heart. Man don't get a contrite heart just because all of a sudden he just is overwhelmed by being a bad guy. I mean, in his own frail abilities, man's not able to even understand that he's a bad guy. You talk to most people of the unregenerate world around us, there ain't nobody out there bad. Well, compared to what? A child molester or a rapist or something? I ain't never done nothing like that. I ain't killed nobody. I mean, what is really being bad? A man will always justify himself as being good enough.
Yes.
Well, God's bound to have mercy upon me. I ain't been that bad. I ain't been on the news as doing some terrible thing as many that you hear about every day. But I tell you what, there's none righteous.
That's right.
On the other side of the coin, there's not one righteous. They've all gone astray. For there's none that doeth good, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. In the third chapter of Romans, Paul spells it out. That for their tongue is as a poison of the asp, and their throat is as an open sepulcher. And the fear of God is not before them. And Peter swept to shed blood, and on is the picture of the state of the depravity of man and the character of man by nature. We don't need justice. Justice don't help us at all. Justice will condemn us forever, but mercy will come and bring deliverance to us, because the Bible says, even while we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together, for by grace are ye saved. Oh yes, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us. I want mercy. Oh God, have mercy upon me. And in the scriptures, and I believe, I can't remember which book it is, but in one of the scriptures there is the psalmist wrote in one of his psalms, pretty much most of the chapter, after every statement of the clause in the text, he said, for his mercy endureth forever. And he'll read on and on, and then he'll say, his mercy endureth forever. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this morning, I've come to tell you his mercy endureth forever. I'm glad it does. If it only went for a short time, Brother Clark, I'm in deep trouble. Because where am I going to pick up at and try to do anything to keep it? I can't. I can't keep nothing. I can't keep nothing. Faith is the only substance that I have of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen that keeps me going, and that is by Christ. And that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We talked a little bit about the just God and the justice of God, but yet beyond the justice of God comes the sweet and the wonderful good news message of the mercy of God towards undeserving sinners, okay? Now let's talk a minute about parole. And the reason why this was brought up, I heard just recently, and I hear on the news a lot about so-and-so is up for parole. So-and-so has been in prison for 15 or 20 years, and he's coming up for parole. You know, parole is a letting out of one who has been imprisoned and charged with doing a wrongdoing in society, and now that he has satisfactorily, if the board so agrees, he has paid the price for a certain length of time, and he's now up for parole. But let me tell you something, the parole does not deliver him from the charge that is against him. For he has to do certain things and works and obligations to continue on in that parole state, even though he be a free man. But listen to me this morning, I don't want parole by the God Almighty for the sins and the things that I've done in this wretched mortal frame over the years that I lived as an unregenerate character, let alone the sins that I do as a believer in Christ Jesus, the things that I would do, I do not, the things that I do, I would not, and how to perform that which is good I find not within me. But I've got one that is within me now. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is my performer. He's come to live in me, both to cause me to will and to do his good pleasure. For he has begun a good work in you, shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's my hope, and that's my help. And that's what gives me of a sound mind. No, I do not want to have a parole. I don't want God to put me on parole, and then he have to go out here and try to do some duty works to try to continue on being good enough to merit my parole. Let me tell you what, I stand here today before you on the merits of Jesus Christ and his merits alone. I stand here before you as a messenger of the gospel of Christ, if I am anything at all, because of the merits of Jesus Christ, upon all that he has done and accomplished in this sinner, this poor mortal body, this wicked man by natural nature. And if I have anything at all, it's by his merits, and to him be the glory. And I take nothing that I can boast of in any natural way or form. No, I do not want to be on parole. But you know, there's a gospel being preached by many over the centuries of Christianity that has given people the indication that they're on parole. You know that? Well, you just do this and do that. But yet, once you begin this work of taking and making your decision for Christ, you have to keep up doing duties and works. Brother Clark, it's nearly, you're on parole if they teach that kind of stuff. If that's the kind of gospel that people are under many, many Sundays in meeting houses around the nation and the world, they're under a gospel that if you do this, you'll get this, but then you got to continue on with this. Well, I've got a gospel that says that if Christ has done this for you, and if he's blessed you to come and believe it, as Brother Mike said, if he's blessed you to believe the gospel, which brings life and immortality to light, and you've seen that, then you've seen all of it. Then you've seen the finished work of it. You've seen Christ on the cross. You've seen him suffering for sinners. You've seen him dead. You've seen him resurrected. You've seen him coming back again.
It's all completed in God's determined purpose from the beginning of time, as He has predestined it to come to pass, and so shall it be. Yes, it ain't, we're not on parole. It ain't up to me and how I act according to what I'm going to get in eternity. It's been established. For if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when? Before the foundation of the world. My goodness, so what have we got to, what can we do to alter that? Can man change that? To those who God the Father has given Christ to come and die for on the cross, as the elect, as the appointed, the chosen, called heirs of divine grace, adopted into the family of God by God Almighty before the foundation of the world, what can man do to alter that? He cannot do nothing to alter it. You say, well, brother, we still fall short of being perfect and living the life that we want to live. Yes, we do. That's because Jesus Christ has come and has justified us and paid for it all on the cross of Calvary. And there's nothing we can do to alter that. Yes, we sin. But yet, with that sin, our hearts just does not merely fluff it off. You see, the heart of God's elect children is grieved over sin. And if a person professes to be a Christian and a believer in Christ Jesus, and he's not grieved over sin when he becomes guilty of it in this mortal time realm, oh, I warn him, make your calling and election sure, brother and sister, lest you be not in the family of God. It's a warning. I'm not judging anybody. I'm saying judge yourself. And if you do, then no man can judge you. And judgment must first begin where at? The house of God. And among the people of God. You know, that's one thing that has been a low-keyed and low-preached thing in the last probably 100 years. And that is church discipline. I believe in church discipline. And because if a man or woman is living in an ungodly manner, it is a reproach not only upon the local church, but on Jesus Christ Himself. Think about it. It's a testimony that people round about say, oh my goodness, they're living over there together. They ain't even married. They're going to that church and they just go in there and they're accepted. And, I mean, there needs to be discipline. A moral character of Christ-like people that meet in the assembly of God's people and live like Christ had called them to live. To be different people, peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the evidence of salvation. Not that good works is what saves us. Good works, listen, is the evidence of salvation. We are not getting blessed because of good works. We are blessed to do good works. That's the difference, Brother Michael. When God revealed that to me some years back about how the blessing of God was upon those of His elect family, the blessing of God is upon them to do good works. It just opened my eyes and turned on a light bulb I never saw before. I tried to do all kinds of duties. I'm going to have a devotion every morning. You probably heard me say this before. Every morning before I start my job, I'm going to get up and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to read so many chapters of the Scriptures. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set this time apart to do. Well, they went on pretty good for about 3 or 4 weeks. And I got up one morning, I was dead tired. I said, oh me, oh gosh. And I didn't want to have to admit it, but oh, I have to look at that book this morning and read. I just don't really feel up to it. And it got to where it became a laborious thing. Oh, my intentions were good. And my devotion was one that I begun with as a heartfelt desire to please God. But it was me that was trying to do it. And it was me that had made a more or less a obligated decision to keep it up. And I proved to myself I couldn't keep it up. I just couldn't keep it up. Well, I found out later on that I did more reading of the Scriptures in the evening time. I was, it was easier for me than trying to do it in the morning. Now a lot of brothers study scriptures in the morning. They feel fresh. They're awakened. But for me, it just didn't seem to work, especially when I had to be at certain places for meetings and so forth. So what I'm trying to say is that I tried so many times to do so many duties and obligations that I felt had to be done in order to demonstrate that I was a Christian. But when I was blessed with the revelation that Jesus Christ by His Spirit is that which works in me to will and to do His good pleasure, and that it is Christ within me by His Spirit that motivates me to do the things that are pleasing in His sight, and I am blessed by that work of grace to do those things, then I began to have peace in mind and heart about it. And I was able to rest. Like Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you know, come unto me. And what's He going to do? He'll give you rest. Writer Hebrews says, he or they that have entered into Christ's rest cease from their own labors. Oh, may God help me cease from my own labors that I might do that which Christ initiates in me to do. And only that. The rest is wood, hay, and stubble, Brother John. Oh, yes, I don't want no parole. I don't want to be taken and let out on certain means and rules and regulations and have to be here and there at a certain time to prove myself worthy. I want somebody that pardons me. I want somebody that pardons me totally. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can pardon a sinner and set him free without no strings attached to it. Isaiah had penned a number of things about the pardoning work of God. And he says, first of all, let me read about three verses here and I'll conclude. In the 43rd chapter, in the 25th verse, he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. God Almighty has said that I, is he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. He's blotted out the transgressions of his elect family, his those adopted heirs of grace, for his sake. We get blessed by it and through it, but it's for his sake, because we are his remnant. We are his church. We're part of his bride. We are witnesses of His grace and loving mercies. For the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, for when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. It does not say you shall try to be witnesses. He says you will be witnesses. That is a passive explanation that Jesus said is going to occur in all that be in Christ Jesus. They shall witness of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Further on, 44th chapter of Isaiah, verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a thick cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Oh, we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed and pardoned. When somebody is pardoned, in the judicial aspect of this government in which we live, when a pardon is granted, they are set free, no longer condemned of what they were convicted of, but are free, with no strings attached, no parole, no nothing. They are free, and we are as well that are pardoned by the blood of Christ are free indeed from sin's condemnation. And then thirdly, Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, I love that word pardon. I don't want to be on parole. I want to be pardoned. And Jesus said that all that come to me, I shall no wise lose none, but they that come to me, I am going to pardon their sins, because I'm going to grant them mercy, and they shall have life eternal, and sins forgiven forever and ever. You say, what about sin? Is that all sin? Every sin, past, present, and future. Oh, we can't get by with future sins and just scuff it off and say that God is sovereign and therefore, you know, He's predestined our sins to be forgiven, which He has, and we can just get by with it. No, if you're a child of God, you'll be vexed in heart and you'll be chastened by God, because whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and every one of God's children shall be chastened by the Lord. He says, all shall be partakers of that chastening. So therefore, all of us are going to fall short of the glory of God as time goes on, and we're not going to get by with it. We're going to be vexed, and we're going to be brought down, and our heart's going to be broken, and we're going to repent, and God is going to bless us with that wonderful grace that comes and gives us the peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable, that Jesus Christ has paid it all, and all to Him I owe. God bless you is my prayer. Thank you for your kind attention.